Holy Spirit, I just pray that this evening would be an evening where you give us your eyes to see. Give us your ears to hear. Give us your understanding, a spirit of revelation. Because we don't want to be the same. We never want to be the same. We want to grow more intimate with you every passing moment, every passing day. But we want to learn more about you. There's so much more to you, Lord. How can we possibly describe the color blue to someone who has never seen at all? There's some things that just need to be experienced to know what that is. Sometimes you just need a touch from the Father, a touch from the Holy Spirit, and we will know in the twinkling of an eye what that is. You're altogether beautiful, Lord. There's so many different levels to you, so many different depths. You've hidden treasures for us to seek out. Your love is never ending. Infinite love, infinite glory, infinite power. Us is our infinite God. We adore you and love you, Lord. We bless you. You know that we can do that, church? We can bless God. But as you can't just say bless God and then he's blessed. You know, we can bless God by telling him, I love you. I love you. Tell him you love him. If you feel like it. If you love him, tell him you love him, because that makes the Father blessed. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. This is our Father who smiles on us, and as we say, we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. This makes the Father pleased. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you like to take your seat? So we're just going to... I really feel like there's some time of ministry later on, and I want to make space for that. I really have a feeling that there's going to be... If you've come in here this evening and you have some kind of physical ailment, you will see things tonight that you would normally not see. So I'll try that again. You will see things tonight that you wouldn't have normally seen if you'd gone anywhere else. I'll say this with confidence, because not because of what I'm saying, but because God says that He will confirm His Word. And I really believe that what I'm about to share tonight is His Word. And so I want you to make space in your heart for something a little different in the way that maybe you'd think church normally happens. But I want to share a word that'll impregnate you with expectation. Before we get into that, I'd like to take up the offering this evening. Do you know that if you never give again, you're going to be blessed? Do you believe that? If you never give, this isn't what you should hear in a tithes and offerings, right? This is what you normally wouldn't hear in a tithes and offerings. But if you never give again, you are going to be blessed. That is the power of the gospel that sets us free from having to. And if you're visiting with us tonight, you really don't. This is what we do as a family. But if you want, you know, we really partner with the gospel. This is what we're doing tonight. We're actually saying we believe in this message so much that we have the privilege of just having some part to play in it. So each time something, some ministry happens from this church, not just this building, but this church, as we go out to minister into drug rehabs, as we go out to minister from this pulpit, as we go out to minister in the valley, wherever we go, we share in that privilege. And so if you're wanting to share in that privilege tonight, would you like to take what you've purposed in your heart? The Bible says we purpose what we're wanting to give in your hand, because I'm wanting to bless that. I'm wanting to speak an increase over what we're saying, and an increase in what we're wanting to receive too. Lord, we thank you that the cross has said it all. We are free, 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 free. But we want to partner with what you're doing because we believe in it. And we've seen the power in what you've been doing. And Lord, the privilege that we have of partnering with that is just a joy to us. And with a joyful heart, we recognize that and we give this evening. So Lord, whatever people are sowing tonight, whatever people are giving tonight, I pray, Lord, multiplication over that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, well, this being Resurrection Sunday, I had the title of my sermon was, or is, the title of my sermon is, I Was There, and Now I'm Here. When you open up a bottle of water and it's half empty, what does that tell you? It's half full. Okay. Someone else has been sharing of the cup. But I was sitting now thinking about this. Somewhere along my life, you probably have been too, you know, if you're anything like me, is that you've often thought about how do you imagine yourself leaving this earth? Now, if you've got this utopia picture, pretty much like me, this is how I would imagine it. First of all, I would imagine myself quite old. You know, a couple more wrinkles, a couple more gray hairs. I know you can't imagine that, but just imagine a couple more gray hairs. I can imagine sun shining through the window. Can you see it? Like the sun shining through the window. You're surrounded with family all around you. You're surrounded with your friends. Maybe you saw yourself going before your spouse, or maybe you saw yourself going after your spouse, depending on how good your marriage was. Maybe you saw, you know, maybe you're free, you know, maybe you're not in a prison or in an institution or, you know, lost your marbles or anything of the sort. Maybe you're free actually in your own bed. Maybe you're also pain free. You know, there's no suffering. There's just this ease. You're lying in bed and there's just this joy and peace and love that surrounds you as you're about to leave this earth. That would be nice, right? And you see heaven opening up, this warmth coming through, this light shining in, and welcoming you in. Now, come on now, tell me that isn't your picture of how you see things going. Just one or two people, okay, the rest of you guys, you can have the other picture. I'm joking. But this is it. Jesus had none of that. Jesus didn't have the sun shining down on him. There was no sun shining down on him. He wasn't pain-free. He wasn't surrounded with friends and family just reminiscing of the good old days. He wasn't free. He was bound to a cross. It had the nights absolutely traumatized. He wasn't lying down, and heaven definitely wasn't welcoming him in. And the reason why I start off with this is for this very reason. He paid a high price for a massive deposit into your account. But if we don't have a revelation of how big that deposit really was, we'll always be eking out minuscule withdrawals from that account. He paid so much into our account that we have so much to withdraw. But if we don't get a revelation of exactly what went into it, we're always going to be, well, I hope I can just, God, if you don't mind, just give me $10 or $20. If you've got your Bibles with you, open up to Romans 8. The scripture's been used so many times today. So many times. And that's just for me a confirmation that God is doing something here. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now think about that. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, right? Can you imagine that? But wherever Jesus was, I'm not going to get into where different people have different ideas of where Jesus was, but wherever He was, that He was raised from the dead, that same Spirit that raised Him up is living in you. Think about that. Every time you pray for someone, every time you step out in faith, every time you make a withdrawal on the cross, the finished work of the cross, the Holy Spirit that's living in you is like the executor of the estate. And says, I was there when I raised Him up from the dead. The price has been paid. And so He stands inside of us saying, When we're stepping out in faith, when we're stepping out for healing, when we're praying for something, when we're trusting God for a new venture, for something bold and miraculous to happen, the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us and says, yes, I was there at that moment in time. 2,000 years ago, I raised Him up. That account is bursting. And you can make the withdrawal that you need to in faith. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in us. I'm going to be going through some scriptures tonight. And the Holy Spirit testifies to the finished work of the cross. And that's really what I'm wanting to establish in here this evening. And I want to give us 5 points on what exactly that account looks like. And then, hopefully, the revelation of what that account, what you thought that account looked like, would have infinitely increased to the point of where you've come here this evening with some need. Some need that you actually have, I can't say guts, the gumption to make a massive withdrawal on what Jesus did for you. Let's see what happens. The first point. The Holy Spirit says, I was there when your account was settled. John 1:29 says, the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When Jesus was raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit raised him up. All of your sins were settled. The account was made null. You could walk free. He was there on that day when He raised him up and He said, this matter is finished. How do you know? Why did Jesus have to be raised from the dead anyway? Why did He have to get raised from the dead? I read up something with Joseph Prince and he's got this lovely illustration. He says, if you were convicted of some crime and you had to get locked away for a season, for 20 years, and someone volunteered and said, I'll do it, and they go into prison for 20 years. How would you know if your account has been settled? You would know that your account has been settled when you see that same person that volunteered to settle your account walking around free in the streets. Then you'd know, I am free. This is a matter which I've been liable for is now settled because I can see you free. This is why Jesus had to be raised from the dead. So that we would have full confidence knowing all your sins were settled on the cross. All your debts were paid. Now this might sound like we're going over the same thing over and over again. But I'm absolutely convinced of this. Is that when we come to revelation, that as John said, the Lamb of God, who hasn't just come to cover up the sins of the world, who hasn't just kind of come up to sweep them under the carpet, but has come to remove your sins from you. Psalm 103 says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sins from us. See, how can you possibly, I'm going ahead of myself here, but that's okay, I'll catch up with myself later. How can you possibly pray for someone hoping that your prayers would be answered if you had even the minuscule amount of sin in your life? That God was looking down upon you and said, uh-oh, one little black spot here. Sorry, hands are tired, can't help you out here. How could we have any confidence to pray for someone to speak out the miraculous unless we had full confidence that absolutely every sin that we ever did, that are doing, and will be doing, has been settled once and for all? We need to have that confidence. This isn't just a rehash of what we already know. We need to have an absolute confidence that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to the scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He made Him, Jesus, speaking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. I'm just letting it settle in a bit. You know, sometimes you just got to like stir the pot and just let it simmer. That scripture speaks about we have the righteousness of God. Not just a secondary or tertiary grade righteousness, that you've got God and then you've got subsidiary filters of righteousness. That scripture says that you have the righteousness of God. So as righteous as God is, that is as righteous as we are, because we are found in Christ Jesus. Think about this. Jesus took on 100% of our sins so we could take on 100% of His righteousness. Right? If there was anything less than 100% of an exchange between us and Jesus, then Jesus didn't take on all mankind's sin and would have to try and become righteous by some other means. But every scripture you will ever find in the Word of God says this: once for all. Not once for all your sins, once for all your sin, for all mankind, for all time, once for all. It is finished. All these scriptures we read about speak about that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Point two. I was there, speaking about the Holy Spirit, and now I'm here when the enemy comes. See, Jesus became cursed, the cursed one, so we can never again be cursed. We took up an offering this evening. If you really believed that there was curses that would come upon you if you didn't tithe, or if you just didn't give enough, then I think you've misunderstood the gospel. If you believed that you could go into a Sangoma's room and believe that there's some funky little gremlin would jump up on your back and it have some kind of effect in your life, I think you've misunderstood the gospel. If you think that your family got involved in some kind of Freemasonry and it's kind of filtered, funny things have happened and filtered down through the generations. My family was involved in Freemasonry. My mom's got four sisters. So it's my mom and her four sisters that are, every single one of them has either lost their husband through death or divorce. And someone's going, well, that's what'll happen if you get involved in Freemasonry. I'm saying, what a lot of nonsense. Nothing. My mom's going, you should watch out because you know this bloodline and the drawing these graphs. I'm going, it has no effect on me. Jesus became cursed so that all of this stuff that has got some application, if you're inside a different kingdom, will have an application on you, but it has no. The enemy can't touch you. You are in a different kingdom now. You are operating in this kingdom. You were dead in this kingdom. He picked us up, made us alive in Christ Jesus, and put us under a different kingdom. Jesus became the curse, so we will no longer have to be worried about picking up any little gremlins. In the Old Testament, you touch something that was unclean, you would be unclean. Jesus came. Jesus paid the price. You touch something that was unclean, that thing would become clean. That's the power of the gospel. A different kingdom. A different kingdom. Point number three, I was there when God adopted you into His family. I love this. The writer says, behold, like there's actually something that he can't quite express just yet, and so he's got to start off with this opening line of behold, because he's trying to still grasp the measure of what's about to come. And he says, behold, what measure of love the Father has for us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hey? He kind of like, he's still trying to get a grasp of it. He's saying, whew. You kind of get the picture, he's out of breath a bit. You know, this is such a big thing. I've got to take time to just kind of explain to you what's going on. The last time I preached to you, I showed you. It wasn't like God the Father, then we had Jesus just underneath Him, and then we had the Holy Spirit, and then we've been adopted into His family, so that's where we are. No. The Bible says, where Jesus says, I am in the Father. So there's this, Jesus is in Him. And the Bible says that we are in Jesus. And who is in us? the Holy Spirit. So God, the Trinity of the Father, has separated Himself, put us like a sami right in the middle, and made us part of His family. He has surrounded us with Himself. Inside us, as we are inside Him. How beautiful is that? The Holy Spirit is the seal of our adoption into His family. We can't get out of it. You can't get out of His family. He loves you. You are part of His family. The Holy Spirit says, I am here giving life to your bodies. Romans 8:11, which you just read, says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it carries on to say, will also give life to your mortal bodies. Not just life, but life abundantly, as John 10:10 says, where Jesus says, I came that they may have life and life in its abundance, overflowing, can't contain it, that kind of life. So not just life trying to eke through existence and, you know, move through things and glad I missed that, you know, issue in life and things that kind of get our hairs up. He says, there's life, there's a promise of life and life in its abundance for you. The last one says, I am there empowering you to deliver others. Because this good news isn't just good for us, it's good for so many people. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And if we are not 100% righteous, how could we possibly come to a conclusion that any of our prayers could be answered? Like God's just kicking off scraps off His table. Like, okay, you can have that prayer answered, you can have that prayer answered. But we are adopted into His family, sandwiched within the Trinity. We are dining at His table. He has prepared a feast for us, so wonderful, that we're no longer just picking up scraps. We have this feast available for us. Last week we had a prophetic word that was brought in the morning service about anybody who had any kind of eye problems. Shall I change over to the other? Anybody who had any kind of eye problems, to stand up and we're going to pray for you. And you know, do you know what I saw? There we go. I saw a whole lot of people with glasses looking around. I wonder what God's going to do with him. Hope God heals him. That'll be amazing. And I'm looking, why aren't you standing up? Have you missed the prophetic call that went out there? Hey, people with contact lenses looking at each other, okay? We laugh, but this is a point, because you're going to laugh, ha-ha. You guys have all heard that story of what's his name? The New York and LA police commissioner, William J. Bratton, in the 90s. He started cracking down on minuscule offenses. So if you were caught jaywalking, they would slap a fine on you. If you were doing some minuscule thing, they really came down hard on the little things. And what happened was that there was a massive turnaround in crime, because the natural reaction is that everyone's feeling like, wow, the police are everywhere and they're taking even the little things. The reason why I use this illustration is this. Is I've heard a few times where people say, you know, it's really nice that we see some headaches get healed and the runny nose and the, I got a pimple that just got squished and praise God it's all healed up. But we really want to see, what we really want to see is the dead being raised and the cancers. And while that is all true, I'd like to say this, is that if we have a real understanding of how big a deposit Jesus made for us, we would be sorting out those little things because we have a full revelation of what was settled for us on the cross. So when it comes to, anyone got an eye problem, anyone this, we're not kind of saying like, whew, I better not stand up. That's not a hectic thing. Shame, that guy really needs prayer. He looks like he really needs to get healed. There's some serious stuff there. We should be celebrating every little thing. So how's this list? Oh, I'll get there just now.
God spoke to me about Christians growing in a spirit of rejection. I've literally, over the last couple of weeks, had like a pain here and a pain there. And as I see it as an attack from the enemy, trying to get me to come into agreement that, y'all know that's actually serious disease or a serious problem with this and with that. And I say, you know what? I reject that pain. And it sounds quite, you know, Jimmy, you don't know. You don't know. That could be something serious. Within 10 seconds, that intense pain was gone. I'm talking about 9, 10, 11 times, all in different places, because I recognize the pain is not from, it's not from him. And I want to see more people growing in that same spirit of rejection, that we reject the enemy that's trying to contend for this inheritance that we've been promised. Because this inheritance is too wonderful, and we should be regularly making withdrawals on even the little things. And we're not seeing that. See, I get this. I want to see us contending for more. More God, more victories, in the smallest and the largest. I want to ask Amizos to come up so long. We're going to make some withdrawals tonight. Okay? How's this list? If you recognize that your body's not functioning 100% in 100% level, in eyesight, should we try that one again? In hearing, I told you about that time where when the guys tested my hearing and there's a couple of levels that I can't hear in my one ear. That kind of thing. Where if you think, you know, I actually can't hear so well if you've got that ringing in your ears every now and again. That kind of thing. Aches and pains like arthritis. You've actually kind of thought, you know, this is just the way I am. This is just what happens when you get old. Can I tell you something? No, it isn't. Arthritis isn't just one of the way things happen. It's an attack from the enemy. Skin disorders. You're constantly battling with skin disorders. I'm not going to get into too graphic detail, don't worry. Headaches, migraines. You're constantly battling with those things. Loss of range of movement or any body part. If you actually feel like I can't, this morning I prayed for a lady and she'd had these shooting pains on her leg. And I said to her, well, you know, let's, and slowly but surely she was getting more and more and more movement in her leg without any pain. And so any kind of body part that kind of, as you move in a certain way, you have a limited movement of it, or you actually feel like there's a pain that goes along with that. Irritable bowel syndrome. Cramping stomachs. Mood swings. I know what you guys are thinking, but they're all different separate issues. If you've got mood swings, you kind of like, you get in and out, you get happy, you get sad, you kind of like, don't know what's going on. Mood swings. That's another thing. Weight loss, weight gain. Gonna make a withdrawal on that deposit tonight, eh? Insect bites. You know, I prayed for someone, and I mentioned this last, I prayed for someone who had a spider bite, and they literally couldn't put any pressure on it. Why do insects bite us? The scriptures say nothing can harm you. Snakes, scorpions, nothing. If you've been battling, I know Michelle, she's got a scar on her leg from a spider bite. I'm going, rubbish. What rubbish is this? We're in a different kingdom. Insect bites. I know someone is battling with TB earlier. We're gonna see that happen. An old injury. Maybe you've had an old injury and it's kind of popped something somewhere funny, rugby, whatever else, and you can't quite see the full healing in that. You're going to see some of that. Allergies. Who's battling with allergies? Yeah. Yeah. Can you see the faith level just pop a little bit here tonight? We're actually saying the finished work of the cross has done it all. Because these are the little things. And there's so many more things. We just kind of like, oh, that's just life. That's just the way things are going to be. And I'm saying no. No. If any one of those things that I've read out has been you, do you want to just stand? We're not going to ask you what it is. Holy Spirit, this is your time to shine. This is your time to shine. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Lord, we're coming with the spirit of rejection. We're rejecting the lies that the enemy has told us, that as you get older, these things are going to happen. The enemy's lied to us about that's just the way things are. This is your body. That's what you're going to have to live with for the rest of your life. And we are making a stand tonight on the finished work of the cross. And we are making a big withdrawal. And in your eyes, Jesus, it's such a small thing. Because you paid for so much more. I pray your Spirit would just hover over this place. No one saying anything. No one praying for anyone else. We're coming in faith. So we say, with full confidence, that all those allergies, those things that were causing, we don't understand the medical things, Lord. We understand you. We understand who you are. We understand your ways are not our ways. And so we say to the sinuses, be open. We say to those weeping eyes, cease. We say to those stomachs, cramping, mood swings, whatever those are, cease in Jesus' name. Old injuries, loss of movement, I just feel like to stop here. I prayed for someone who was battling with their eyes just the last week. And they were so used to people praying for their healing, and they never saw that healing. That when I said, can you see far? He said, I can't see. So I brought it closer and I said, can you see this person on the stage? And they said, no, they're still blurry. I prayed again. When we come up for prayer, it's not a rush, quickly, let's get through this thing and see what signs and wonders happen. We're contending for our healing. And that can take some time. And that's okay with me, if that's okay with you. And so as he sat there, I prayed for him again. And he said that the person that was closest to him that was fuzzy, he could then see clearer. And then we went to the next person. I could see him just start to cry. Sometimes we have miracles. Sometimes we have healing. Miracles happen instantaneously. But sometimes healing takes place because somewhere we have some kind of unbelief. And it just needs the Holy Spirit just to encourage us to step out and believe. Believe in Him. Believe in the finished work. So Holy Spirit, as I'm busy mentioning things right now, some people that have been living with things for so long, I just sense there's quite a strong thought train that goes and says, but I've lived this for so long, that's just the way it is. You would like to see things change, but you don't really believe. Holy Spirit, help us with our unbelief. Jesus said, such come out by prayer and fasting. What he was saying was that the unbelief comes out as we hang out with God. So, Lord, as we're just hanging out with you, would you just reveal to those people that are battling with this of how powerful you are, how loving you are, how beautiful you are. If you feel the Holy Spirit on you, just surrender just a little bit more to Him. We don't understand the way He moves. Sometimes we look around and we see the Holy Spirit moving on people and we don't quite understand that. You know that in the Bible there was very few times does God actually do the same miracle twice. Sometimes He covers the earth in water. Sometimes He splits the water to let a nation walk through. Sometimes He just walks on the water. So if you see something that you don't quite understand or don't fully come to terms with. Trust that He is your Father, that He's going to lead you into what you need for your healing. Skin disorders. Eyesight. Be restored in Jesus' name. Ears open in Jesus' name. Open ears. Oh, Jesus wept when He saw those that were lost. Those that were lost. But He didn't stay weeping because there was joy that was coming. There was joy that was coming. Jesus knew that they weren't going to stay lost forever. They were going to be rejoicing in the streets. Loss of range of movement. Whatever it is that you can't, that you battle to move. Would you move it? If that's for you, an old injury, something that's been plaguing you, start to move it. That's what Jesus said to the man. He says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. There was strength that he had that kind of grew on him, that he had just enough to stand up. And those mats weren't little grass reeds, they were heavy mats. The strength grew all over him that he was able to pick up this mat. And it just walked. Sometimes you've got just enough faith just to get up. Then if that's the motion that you've got, then get up. But as your unbelief dwindles, you'll have enough to pick up your mat and then to walk. If you're feeling like you need to step out and that, just move your arms. Insect bites, any kind of animals that take funny things with you. You'll stop right now in Jesus' name. No diseases. No terminal illnesses. Those things that have come to seek to hamper our walk will lay down now in Jesus' name. Those things that have come by the enemy to bring death, you die in Jesus' name. We speak wholeness over this body. We speak wholeness. Nothing missing. Nothing lost. The peace of God. Shalom peace. Over this body. Same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Does anyone here feel like they've got some kind of increase in their range of motion or pain that's dropped away? This is not a We're not trying to look for results here. But when someone shares a testimony, it encourages other people to say, yes, Lord. Please.
I've just been suffering with a stiff shoulder for quite some time, and it's totally healed. Thank you.
We're contending for the little things, right? Because as we sort out these little things, the big things are going to come easily. Jared, do you have something? I hope this is encouraging you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I was just trusting God for a bit of a full meal deal. But part of the deal, what I've got thus far, I've hurt my right knee quite badly, and it cramps up a lot if I keep it still in position for too long. And I was just standing there now, and I couldn't really bend it without any pain or whatever. And now I can give it a full on one leg, you know, with no pain at all. So it's really cool. Father God, I just declare full meal deals for everybody tonight, Lord. Full meal deals, that we just get the full buffet of your glory and your healing and miraculous healing, Lord. Whether it be instantaneous or a process, Father, I just declare that over everybody tonight. I rebuke any doubts. I rebuke any disbelief. I only declare victory, Lord. Victory from the cross, Lord. Your victory, and you only have success for us, Lord. That even when we've got nothing to lose, Father. We've got nothing to lose by asking. So we're just asking, Father. We've got absolutely nothing to lose. So why not? Why not just give us that healing, Father? Why not just for that miracle? And we just thank you and declare and thank you already for what you've done, Father. Thank you for your beautiful cross, the finished work of the cross, Lord, that has been put over every single one of us, Lord. Your blood was shed for us. Your body was broken for us. You took the pain, Father. You had the knee aches. You had the poor eyesight. You took all of it for us, Lord. When you were on the cross, Lord, you went deaf. And when you rose again, you were 100% healed for us, Lord. Amen.
If you don't know this Jesus like we're talking about now, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. You will have that same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living within you. And I want to just give an opportunity here, for if you know that that's not you, and you say, like, I don't know anything what you've been speaking about here, but what I've seen tonight has just changed the way I see things. And I want to give an opportunity for you to respond. I'm going to come pray with you afterwards, but I just want to see you raise your hand, so that I can identify with you, and I'll come and pray with you to see that same Holy Spirit that's living within me, living within you. So will you just raise your hands if you feel like that's you, and you're saying, I want to respond. I believe, and I want to see Jesus living in my life the same measure that what I'm seeing in other people's. Yeah, amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Amen. Thank you.